Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Den här veckan samarbetar Syn i själen med Synoptik och deras glasögonabonnemang All Inclusive. Med det här abonnemanget så får du inte bara ett par glasögon utan en komplett lösning där du kan varva mellan glasögon, solglasögon och linser efter ditt behov på ett tryggt och bekvämt sätt. Och något som är riktigt bra nu när sommaren är runt hörnet är att du med det här abonnemanget kan få slipade solglasögon efter din egen styrka. De slipade solglasen kan enkelt anpassas till både vanliga bågar och solglasögonbågar, helt efter din personliga stil och preferens så att du kan njuta av solen med skarp syn. Du behöver aldrig oroa dig för synundersökningar eller styrkeförändringar. All service såsom glasbyten och undersökningar ingår i den fasta månadskostnaden. Det är dessutom ett perfekt abonnemang om du vill minimera risken för oförutsedda kostnader med otursskyddet om olyckan skulle vara framme. Jag har till exempel fått hjälp att laga mina favoritsolglasögon istället för att låta dem ligga oanvända hemma, vilket känns väldigt skönt nu inför våren och sommaren. Både miljötänk och ekonomiskt i längden att ta hand om det vi har. Utöver allt det här så får du dessutom möjlighet att byta ut ett par varje år så att du alltid har en uppdaterad glasögongarderob. Allt är inkluderat i en fast månadskostnad från 90 kronor i månaden. Inga oförutsedda kostnader och du har alltid 30% på alla glasögon och solglasögon när du tecknar ett abonnemang. Läs mer och boka tid på synoptik.se. Den här veckan gästas så in i själen av Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, en brittisk husläkare och pionjär som ger sina patienter tillbaka makten över sin egen hälsa. Dr. Rangan har arbetat som läkare i snart 20 år. Han vägrar symptomlindrande medicin när det inte är absolut nödvändigt och han lyckas ändra folks livsstil istället. För det har han på kort tid blivit omåttligt populär bland patienter och allmänheten, men också respekterad av sina kollegor. Han poddar om hälsa i Feel Better, Live More. Han har även gjort tv-serien Doctor in the House för BBC 1 som har sänts i över 70 länder. Hans första bok, Hälsobalansen, 4 nycklar till ett bättre liv, kom ut på svenska 2019 och därefter kom böckerna Stressbalansen och Förändra ditt liv 5 minuter i taget. Och nu är han alltså aktuell med boken Viktbalansen. Det här samtalet, avsnittet, är på engelska men jag hoppas inte att det ska avskräcka er för att det är ett fantastiskt samtal. Väldigt djupt blev det faktiskt. Mycket själ. Varmt välkomna till ett hälsosamt samtal i Så in i själen. So welcome to my podcast, Så in i själen, Rangan, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. Så in i själen, Swedish, it means it's a spiritual podcast. It's about the soul. Into the soul.
I love that, Agnetha.
Yeah.
I really like that. What a lovely way to start the show.
Yes. I thought it was by time that we had a spiritual soul podcast in Sweden because we haven't had that one, just focusing on that part.
Yeah.
patients. So that's why it felt important in during this time also with the COVID-19 pandemic and all these things, people feeling lost.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but more into that later, because I'm going to ask you some questions about the soul and spirit and things like that. But I would like to start with, because I read two of your books, I read almost the whole book, the last one about the feel great, lose weight, Viktbalansen in Swedish. So I haven't finished it yet, but I have the feeling that all your books is about to change your life, to get a better relationship to yourself and to your own life, and to do small changes then that can do big wonders.
Yeah, I think.
Is that your mission?
It really is. You know, I've been a medical doctor for over 20 years now, and I've seen tens of thousands of patients. And there's a few things I've learned from my patients over the past 20 years. One is that we've overcomplicated health. Mm. We've made it something that we think about as being punishing or restrictive or deprivation, whereas actually health can be full of kindness, compassion, and love. And all of my books, I think it's a really great observation from you, that it is really about how can we improve the quality of our lives? What can we do that's going to fit into our daily lifestyles? That's going to fit with our beliefs that we're going to manage to continue doing? Because most people, when they come and see me, they don't want a 3-week or a 4-week plan that makes them feel good for 3 or 4 weeks and then they go back to what they were doing before, mm-hmm. which is what ends up happening with a lot of people. What most people want is they want to change their lives. They want to have more energy. They want to have better relationships with their partner, with their children, with their work colleagues. They want to have more time to engage in the things that they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me a while to realize this, but all those things, relationships, passion, purpose, health is more than one thing. It's not just food, movement, sleep, and relaxation. Those things are really important, but it's also our relationships, passion, purpose. And what I've found in 20 years of seeing patients is that you really get the best health outcomes when you really take this holistic approach, when you look at every aspect of a patient's life, mm-hmm. and you help them make small changes that are consistent with their lifestyle and their beliefs. And that's kind of really what my entire approach is about.
Mm-hmm. So there is not just one fits all. You have to really find out what this individual need and could change in their life.
There's definitely no one size fits all. Mm. And my patients have taught me that, because if you really listen to your patients and you hear what they're telling you, you will see that different people do different things to obtain good health. They're not all doing the same thing. And after a while as a doctor, if you're listening, you go, oh, wait a minute. Why is it that this works for that patient, but it's not working for that other patient? And this has really helped shape my approach, which is, what's the right approach for the person in front of me? Mm. You know, the new book that you've read most of, Viktbalansen,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's around losing excess weight. But the truth is, the book will help anyone with their health, whether you want to lose weight or not. Because actually, what I'm helping people understand is, how do you promote health, well-being, vitality in your own life? And if you do need to lose weight, that will happen as a side effect of focusing on the other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take weight loss for a minute, how many people will tell you that, oh, my friend went on a low-carb diet and lost weight, but I do the same diet and it doesn't work for me.
Mm.
Or my friend did the 16-8 intermittent fasting, but when I try it, it doesn't work. And we think that we're the failure.
Because we're so different.
Different. Mm-hmm. We've all got different histories, different stress levels, different relationships, different
genes.
Gut microbiomes, different genes. And that's what I do with all of my books, is I try and go, well, in my consultation room, I would help you come up with a personalized approach for you. How do I do that? Through the medium of books. And I hope I've managed to do that in all of them, but particularly this last book, is help people realize what approach do you need to take for your life?
Own responsibility of your own life.
Yeah, exactly.
With some help from the doctor. But not every doctor have the time. I mean, it's so good that you take your time with your patients. That's rare, isn't it?
Look, I don't think the system helps doctors. You know, we're required to see lots of patients at very short time intervals. So I think that is a problem. But yet it's not just that, right? Our training as doctors is very much based around pharmaceutical drugs and diagnosing a problem. Now, that can work very well for some things, particularly acute problems. Like if you have a bad chest infection, like a pneumonia, right? Yeah, modern medicine's great. We identify what the problem is, what bug is causing that problem, and then we can give you something like an antibiotic to kill that bug. And a week later, you're feeling better. Okay, great. That's modern medicine at its best. The problem these days is that 80, 90% of what we see now as doctors is in some way related to our collective modern lifestyles, the poor food that we're consuming, the fact that we're sitting down behind desks all day, the chronic stress and busyness that exists in our lives, the multiple temptations to keep us up late so we don't sleep enough, right? These things are all contributing to anxiety, depression, weight gain, migraines, gut problems, low libido, all kinds of problems that people come in to see me with. Actually, all of them have their roots in our lifestyle. Yet as doctors, we're simply not taught about how to address our lifestyle.
A lot of doctors are in the same problems themselves.
They're stressed out with work. They find it very stressful. They don't have enough time to exercise. So when Friday night comes,
it's easier to write out the pill.
Exactly. And I understand that it's not about trying to force one approach on everyone. Like, let's say someone comes in with a migraine to see me. The approach I want to see doctors take is say to the patient, look, your symptoms are consistent with a migraine. Now, look, we do have some medications here that will help reduce the pain. But let me be clear, the medication is not going to help get rid of the problem. It's not going to deal with the root cause. Some patients say, well, look, I don't want the pill. Help me understand what's causing it. That's what I love. But sometimes a patient will say, look, I'm really busy at work at the moment.
Yeah, I want something quick.
I want something. And then I think we should say, okay, no problem. Here's the pill that's going to help you, but just know that this isn't going to help the root cause. And over time, we can help you figure that out together. And it's this little subtlety that I think is missing from medicine. It's not either or. It's not either we go lifestyle or we go drugs. It's like, what is the right approach for this individual at this time?
And it's also like we lost the idea that we actually have our own responsibility of our own health, our own lifestyle. That's the responsibility that comes down to the individual. Don't you think?
I completely agree.
With advice from, I mean, a doctor or someone to take advice, but
I mean,
it's up to you if you do the changes.
Yeah, at its core, it's up to us. Now, I will say that society can make it very hard for us to make the choices we want to make because certainly in the UK, I don't know how it is in Sweden compared to the UK, but it's a very stressed out culture. Too much work, too much busyness, not enough time to cook, not enough time to spend with family and friends. Yeah.
I hate it.
It's awful. And the modern world seems to be going that way. So I need to acknowledge that some people find it really tough to make the changes because they have to go against the tide. They have to swim against the tide of society.
You're so right.
Right, so I think we need to change
to
things
realize that
culturally,
too,
but at the same time, it's our responsibility, right? I don't know what you think about this, but I've been thinking about the expert in society recently. I've been thinking that in many ways, yes, we want help from people like me, right? People who are considered experts. But is half the problem not that we've outsourced our own expertise on our own body to other people?
It's let me rephrase the thing that it's our responsibility, but I think also it is. But it also is, it is our power to do the changes. We have the power. We are not helpless, lost in most cases. We have some power to do.
We're sovereign individuals who in many ways can influence our own lives in terms of what we do. I agree. It is about taking your own power back. Because here's the problem. If you say it's all down to society, and I think society contributes, it's very disempowering. It's like, well, what can I do then? Oh, there's nothing I can do. I need to wait for society to change. I'm not going to move my body. I'm going to stay up late watching box sets. I'm going to drink too much alcohol. I say that with love in my heart and compassion. I know it's hard. But ultimately, if we don't change our lives, nobody's going to change it for us.
No, exactly.
And the approach I take with my patients, on my podcasts, in my books, is always about trying to make the reader or the patient or the listener the architect of their own health. I want to give them tools to say, listen, I don't know your life or your lifestyle or your cultural beliefs, but here are a set of principles that I think are likely to help you use them the way you want to in your life. And I think that's what makes my approach quite different from a lot of the other approaches, is that I want the reader of these books to become their own experts. Use my guidelines, but you start to own it and go, no, actually, you know what, Dr. Chastity, that isn't the right approach for me. This thing that you mentioned earlier in the book, that's the right approach for me. And I don't want that to sound intimidating to people. You can become an expert in your own health and your own life very, very quickly, but you've got to believe that it's possible.
And imagine how proud you will be when you realize that you've done the changes that makes you feel so much better.
Yeah, I mean, take food, right? Let's think about this. 100 years ago, we didn't have nutrition experts. We didn't have food scientists, right? How would we learn what to eat? Our parents or our grandparents would teach us, and we would learn through culture. Oh, these are the kinds of foods we eat in the summer. This is what we eat in the winter. We, you know, a few years ago, I went to Guernsey and there was a big longevity conference on, and they were looking into, could Guernsey potentially be a new blue zone? Blue zones are these.
Yeah, I know about the blue zones.
You know, these five areas around the world where they live to very old ages with good rates of health.
Yeah.
And I was really lucky. I went around to the house of a 102-year-old gentleman. I remember we got a car there. I remember knocking on the door, and it took a bit of time, but this guy came and he opened the door himself, right? So it was such a nice feeling, because as a doctor, I do home visits on some patients and some of the elderly patients, if they're calling for a home visit, they're not very well. So I normally let myself in. But this 102-year-old man came to see me, came to open the door, invited me in, gave me a cup of tea. We had a lovely chat and I said to him, few things. And I would say, what sort of things do you like to eat? And he said, well, a lot of what he ate, he would grow himself or his family would. And he said, oh, there's this really nice delicacy. It was like a sort of French cake. His eyes lit up when he was talking about it. He said, oh, I really, really enjoy that. I said, oh, great. You know, how often do you have it? Like every weekend or every evening with a cup of tea? He said, no. Twice a year. Once at Easter, once at Christmas.
Wow. Gives me the chills.
Yeah. And in that moment, I thought there was a real connection and appreciation that this is really delicious, but I'm going to have it at a special time.
Yeah.
Whereas now in the UK, every day after school or after a bad day at work is special time. Yeah. I deserve a treat to myself, a cake or a pastry or a croissant every single day.
I'm one of them, I think.
Yeah, it's not about saying
myself.
You can never have it.
No.
It's just, I'm not saying even twice a year is the right thing. What's the right thing for you? Maybe it is every Sunday when you go to the local cafe with your friend for a catch-up. You know, and I think this part of community is a really important part of health, because I think one of the big problems we run into, loneliness is a big problem in the UK.
Yes. Also in Sweden, I think.
Big problem.
And also by young people.
Yeah.
You can think maybe it would be old people, but it's a lot of young people that are lonely lost.
The research is saying that it's more of a problem for men than women. Uh-huh. Like young men between the age of 30 and 45 are thought to be the loneliest in Western society, which is one of the reasons why there's such a high mental health problem in that age group, big suicide rates in that age group. Yeah. And this is the missing part of health. And I know this is about spirituality, but this connection is so important, because if you're lonely and you live by yourself, you're going to drink more alcohol. You're going to eat more food like pastries, biscuits, crisps, cakes, because you're not eating to fill a hole in your stomach. You're eating to fill a hole in your heart.
Yes.
right? And so health actually is not that complicated once we identify what's actually going on for the individual. And that's kind of what I'm passionate about, is to try and help people understand their own lives better so that they can then make the choices that they actually want to make. If you walk down the street in Stockholm or in London or in Paris or in New York and you ask people, would you like to be healthier? Would you like more energy? Would you like better relationships? Yeah. Everyone will say, I want it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not as if nobody wants that. No. We all want it. And I want to help people get that.
Yeah. But where did we get lost? Because it's like we are lost in the outer world, in the comparison with others and the competing with others. It's like we've lost ourselves in the outer world.
I think it's society. Yeah. I think this starts at school for many of us, that with the grades and trying to become first. So, you know, you can only succeed if someone else has come underneath you. You know, I see this, I'm very passionate about this because I have two young kids,
yes.
You know, 11-year-old son, 8-year-old daughter. And I'm really starting to see how they start to get shaped by school and competition. And I think
it's sad, I think.
It's
the
really
competition
sad.
And the comparison.
Because we feel then that we can only be successful if someone else has failed.
Yeah.
And actually, there's room for all of us to do well.
Mm.
And man, my whole life, I've struggled with this.
Yes.
You know, I feel I've been really insecure my whole life. And, you know, I think for much of my life, I needed external validation and achievements.
Mm.
And over the last, since my dad died in 2013, really, which is when my whole life changed, because I used to help care for my dad, like I can now see clearly my entire life. And I've really done a lot of inner work over the last few years. Mm. And I don't need that anymore.
Mm.
Like I feel that actually I like who I am. I like the person I see in
it
the mirror.
It hasn't always been like that?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel like that for much of my life, but I didn't even know I didn't feel like that.
No.
And if I think back to me in my 20s, you know, how I would eat, how much alcohol I'd drink, all these things were a way to suppress because I didn't feel good enough in who I was. And I think it shocks people because when I say that, because from the outside, they will look at me as someone very successful.
Yes.
Right?
You think you've always been like this.
Yeah.
You
they
think
see
that.
Someone that you regard, you know, they regard me as an influential doctor, you know, 4 international best-selling books, you know, a huge health podcast, TV shows. People see that and they will assume, oh, this is a guy who's secure in himself.
Mm.
But actually for much of my life, I wasn't. But I've realized over the last few years, I've done a lot of work. And yeah, I talk about this a little bit in Vikt Balansen, actually, about weight.
Good.
Because I always remember this this story that there was a lady who was trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried all kinds of things. She really was carrying a lot of excess weight. And when I saw her, I could really pick up that there was something else going on here. And anyway, as I got to know her better, it turned out that when she was 16, she was in an abusive relationship with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's when her weight started to come on, like a few months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what had happened is that she never wanted to be in that position again. So she thought, her subconscious mind thought that the way I make sure I'm never in that position again is to put on a load of weight. Because if I'm carrying lots of weight, in her mind, she thought,
it was a protection.
No guys are going to want to date me or be with me. And so I won't be in that position.
Mm.
And it took me a bit of time. But once I'd established that with her, I sent her for some therapy. This changed everything. Over the next 2 years, all the weight started to come off effortlessly because for her, it was a real emotional pattern in her body, right? And again, you know, since the book came out in America and the UK, I've had so many private messages from women saying to me, thank you for writing that bit.
Oh.
I remember this message from this 48-year-old lady. She said to me, I was crying as I read that bit because now I can see for me, that's when my weight came on.
Wow.
And you've now triggered me to go and get therapy and deal with this. And it makes me so happy that this person for 30 years has been carrying the excess weight,
You're really reaching out to souls out there. It's beautiful.
I'm trying to, in a very kind way.
Yeah, yeah.
No one needs to be told. People who are carrying excess weight, they don't need to be beaten by society or the doctor. Most people are trying their best. They have tried. We can look and go, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you eating more? but a lot of them are really struggling with emotions. And what I just said to you is not actually that uncommon. It's a lot more common than
yes,
we think.
Yes, I know. But you said that now you like yourself. You love yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I do.
That's good. That's very good. But how do you get there? Because it feels like it's so easy to turn yourself down, both physical and mentally. Why is that so much easier than to love ourselves?
Because many of us, at our core, we don't like who we are.
Why?
You know, it's very hard. I think for many of us, it comes down to different experiences. But a lot of the time, it comes down to our childhoods. You know, how did we interpret things from our teachers or our parents or the people around us? What actually happens to us isn't the most important thing. It's how we interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
There's different interpretations of truth, right? I felt, for example, like my parents loved me. Right? They were immigrants from India to the UK. They moved there to get a better life for them and their family. But I know they had high expectations of me, right? I was expected to come top of the class, right? If I came back with 99%, they would ask, why was it not 100%? Right? Now, they did it out of love they struggled with racism, with discrimination, and they felt that the way my kids don't have to deal with that is if they excel and get a good job,
of course,
they'll be fine.
Of course.
But although they did it from a place of love, I interpreted that as I'm not worthy of love unless I'm the best.
That's terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that till I was like in my early 30s.
Mm.
So my whole life, I never thought that the opinion of other people, what people thought of me, really, really mattered to me. Even if I didn't like the opinion of myself, if people thought I was doing good things, I was really happy. If people didn't, I would get really upset. And how do people change? First of all, you need an awareness.
Yes.
Right? So I have been, reading lots. Read lots of, I have a morning routine every morning. I spend time reading, meditating, thinking, allow these emotions to come up. Mm-hmm. I've had a bit of help. He's a good friend of mine, sort of like a therapist. You know, I don't have a mental health problem, right? But I want to understand myself better.
Mm.
And as I've understood myself better and I understand where this stuff came from, I can have kindness for myself, compassion. And, last year, before this book came out, one of my best friends, he's a doctor called Ayan Panja. He often interviews me on my podcast once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me the week before this book came out, he said, Rongan, look, a week to go now before your new book comes out, you must be hoping it does really, really well. And I said to him, I said, Ayan, it's really interesting. Of course, I want the book to do well because I really think it's going to help a lot of people. But the truth is, this year, whether the book does well or not, has no impact on how I feel about myself.
That's so good.
These days, I like the person I see in the mirror.
Yeah.
My wife, my children, they don't care whether daddy sells one book or 100,000 books. They still love me just the same.
Mm.
And I love myself just the same, whether it's a failure or a success. And that's a big change for me.
Oh, wow.
Because 5 years
really
ago, I couldn't say that.
Big leap.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I share this because people listening to this right now, they will resonate with certain elements of that. A few years ago, I'd be shy to share. What will people think of me? But now I think, you know what? We're all the same. We've all got insecurities. We've all got things that we're trying to overcome in our life. And I think there's something powerful when people we look up to, when they share what they've struggled with, I kind of think it shows us that we're all the same. We're not all that different. We've all got struggles that we're trying to overcome.
Mm, exactly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Why is it so hard to turn the ship around? What is the best advice you can get to get where you are, to like yourself? People are asking me that because I like myself very, I love myself, and so they are asking me how I did it. And it's, for me, it's been like a journey. It's a journey.
It's, and a
you
journey.
Yeah. Do you have any advice that you think was very good for you?
A couple of things to say there. There is a section on this in the book where I sort of talk about self-talk and language that people can use, and really start to become aware of your self-talk when you say, oh, this always happens to me. Oh, I'm never any good at this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't stick to anything. You will find, once you become aware of this, you'll start to notice it in other people, and then you'll start to notice it in yourself. So you can subtly start changing the language, which really we know starts to change things in your mind. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to mention here, and this, we could do a whole 3 hours on this, because this is not a quick fix type topic. It's not like do 5 press-ups a day and then suddenly you start loving yourself. No, it doesn't work like that. It is a process. It is a journey. But I think the most important part is a daily practice of solitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why I think that's so important. Whether we're talking about our biological signals when it comes to losing weight with you know, our hunger hormones, our fullness hormones, or whether it's to think about the emotions that we're feeling, our body is always sending us messages and giving us signals, but we need to be able to hear them.
Yes.
And these days, we're so busy. We wake up, we pick up these phones, right? We're on our emails, we're looking at Instagram, we're rushing around, we're eating whilst also replying to people. We're so distracted that we don't allow our innermost thoughts and emotions to come up, right? So even 10 minutes a day of solitude, what do I mean by solitude? Some kind of practice that you do for yourself, whether it's some sort of breathing practice or meditation or sitting in silence with a cup of coffee rather than also checking Instagram at the same time. You just find that you allow innermost thoughts and emotions to come out. Journaling can be really good, where you just, for 5-10 minutes when you wake up in the morning, make a cup of tea or a coffee and just sit there and write anything that comes on your mind, right? You're not writing an essay, you're not writing a book manuscript, and you find that things start to come out that you are keeping down and suppressed. It doesn't.
You meet yourself. Have meetings with yourself.
It's like
to take those moments.
You have a conversation with yourself, right? Whether it's through journaling or meditation, and allow yourself to get bored, allow this stuff to come out. Because when you do, you really start to find out who you are. And I got to say, that's the most important step you'll take with your health, actually. Because if you don't take that step, a lot of the changes you'll make will be short-lived. You'll buy a book, you'll follow a plan, you'll lose a bit of weight, you'll have more energy for a few months, and then you'll flip back to your old behaviors, because the root cause of it often is that the changes we make are coming from a place of lack rather than a place of fullness.
So you're talking about those small steps that do big changes.
100%. Look, 20 years of seeing tens of thousands of patients, this is what I've learned. The only people who can suddenly wake up one morning, click their fingers, and change their lifestyles tend to be people who've gone through a significant life event. Someone's died. They've broken up with their husband or wife. They've lost their job. They've had a divorce, right? You have a big life event. The next day, or when you deal with it, sometimes people can change their lives overnight, right? Mm. But if we haven't had that, for most of us, the only way that we're going to make sustainable change, not short-term change, you can do short-term change many ways, but sustainable change, so you really change the quality of your life, is when you make small changes and you do them consistently. Mm. I'm very, very passionate about that. I've seen that with my clinical experience, but the best research on human behavior says the same thing. Mm. You start small, you do it consistently. Toothbrushing, right? It's a prime example.
Mm-huh.
Everyone listening to this podcast right now, I hope, brushes their teeth for 2 minutes in the morning at least and 2 minutes in the evening. They don't need motivation for it. It's just a habit that they have built up, right? It is a small change that they do regularly. We don't think, do we? You know what? I'm too busy today on Monday, too busy on Tuesday, but you know, on Sunday, I'm going to do a 1 hour deep clean of my mouth. We don't think that. We know that a little bit every day keeps our teeth
example.
In shape.
Yeah.
But when it comes to health, we think, no, I'll sit on my bum for 6 days and on Sunday I'll go for a long run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, go for a long run if you want on a Sunday, but why can't you put 5 minutes of movement in every day as well?
Yeah. You really encouraged me to do this meditation. I do that in periods. I had a meeting with Dr. Deepak Chopra for like 20 years ago. I interviewed him.
Wow.
Yeah,
was it 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was early for Sweden to do an interview like that. But today, it's everyone is talking about the holistic thing, health thing. But he was on me so much because we met a couple of times also in Sweden about the meditation. How important it is to meditate. And I've done it in periods. But now I actually, after reading your book, I really do it. You know, I do like 5 to 10 minutes in the evening. That's the last thing I do before I go to bed. I'm not looking in my telephone. And the first thing I do in the morning, I do the meditation also for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I have some reading also as you. At the moment, I do the Course in Miracles. You heard of it?
No, I haven't, but it sounds great.
Oh, it's great. And they have like an exercise per each day for like 1 year. So I'm doing that again. I've done it before.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice ritual. And it doesn't take long. It's like 20 minutes of my day.
Yeah, and if we then compare how long we spend doing other things that we don't want to do, whether it's scrolling our phones or on email or whatever, really 20 minutes is not enough. But I didn't even break it down and make it even simpler. Even 2 or 3 minutes a day to start with will make a difference. One of my patients, I remember so clearly, she was having really bad menopausal symptoms. She didn't want hormones from previous doctors. I helped her get them all down in 6 weeks, really, with her lifestyle. And one thing she couldn't do was switch her brain off. She was always busy, busy, busy. Her mind, her inner voice was going all the time. And we spoke about meditation and she said, Dr. Chatterjee, I can't meditate. It's not for me. I don't really have time for meditation. I said, okay, what do you have time for? 10 minutes? She goes, no. Five? No, don't have 5 minutes. Do you have 1 minute?
Poor woman.
She said, yeah, I could 1 minute I could do. I said, okay, for the next week, 1 minute a day when you wake up, is that possible? She goes, yeah, I can do that. So she starts doing that. 1 week, 2 weeks, just 1 minute a day. And then off her own accord, because she's feeling better, the 1 minute becomes 2 minutes. The 2 minutes becomes 5 minutes. The 5 minutes becomes 10 minutes. So this is the approach I like.
Yes.
Start small.
Love it.
Do it consistently. Because if you start at 20 minutes, right?
No. Yeah.
You start for one or 2 days, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. Then you'll be a bit busy one day. And then before you know it, it's a habit you used to do. Look, I love meditation. But again, I would just want to branch it out. I want people to think of solitude. Which part of the day do you have silence to have a conversation with yourself, right? If you want to do it via meditation, great. If you want to do it via journaling, great. If you want to have a cup of coffee in silence, great. But please have 5 to 10 minutes of silence and solitude each day where you're not looking at that phone, when you're not being distracted by something. And I promise you will start to learn things about yourself that you didn't previously know.
Wow, it brings tears to my eyes. It's beautiful. And what happens if you do this, the health benefit from doing this?
Well, first of all, the health benefit comes from the fact that you pay attention to what you're feeling. So you're less likely to comfort eat later. You're less likely to binge on alcohol later. You're more likely to be active. For example, mm-hmm. I have a morning routine, right? So it's something that's very important to me. I call it the three M's of my morning routine. Mm-hmm. First M is mindfulness. The second M is movement. The third M is mindset. So I try and cover those three things each morning. It can take an hour for some people. It can take 5 minutes if you're pressed for time. Mm-hmm. But on the days where I do my morning routine, I'm more productive later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calmer with my wife or with my children. I'm less reactive. I eat better. I move more. And on the days where I feel I'm too busy, I don't have time today. I need to get on with my work and my emails. I'm less productive. I'm more reactive. I'm more stressed later. I don't sleep as well that evening. Mm. And so that practice of solitude each day will give you more time back than it takes from you. You think you don't have time, but I promise, make the time and you will get that time back later. It helps you with your mental health, your physical health. It helps you, you know, if you're in a relationship with another adult or you have children, taking time to yourself each day, you will be closer with the people around you.
Mm.
It's, I would say for me, beyond the food that I eat, which I think is important, beyond how much I move my body each day, which I think is important, I would argue that my 10, 20 minutes of solitude every morning is the most important habit I do for my health, for my happiness, for my well-being, because that's, I call it a keystone habit.
Mm.
I get that right, everything flows from there. Whereas if I don't do that, everything flows the wrong way.
Oh, I do agree with you. That's so beautiful. Could you explain the three M's?
Sure. So I wrote about, I see you've got my second book there in front of you, Stress Balancing.
I love it.
I wrote about it in there. So this is basically saying, let's make it simple. Morning routine. I think you can do anything you want, but a very simple way to think about a morning routine is to think about the three M's: mindfulness, movement, and mindset. So what does mindfulness mean?
Mm-hmm.
Any form of practice that's going to help you be mindful and present. Could be breathing. It could be like, I've got a breath called the 3-4-5 breath, where you breathe in for three, you hold for four, and you breathe out for five.
Mm.
Could be the box breathing breath, where you breathe in for four, you hold for four, breathe out for four, and hold for four again. Or it could be meditation. I like to meditate and do a bit of breath work. And so this is the first step, mindfulness. What are you going to do? Breath work or meditation, something like that. The second M is movement. So it's always good to move our bodies first thing in the morning. Now, that could be whatever you want. For some people, it's going to be yoga. For some people, it's going to be just some hip stretches in their living room. I like to do a strength workout while my coffee is brewing in the morning. So I'll always do like a 5-minute workout in the morning. The third M is mindset. Can you do something now that's going to put you in a positive frame of mind for the rest of the day? So for me, that's either reading or affirmation. So reading, I have a few books lying around in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
After my two M's, I sit there with a cup of coffee and I read an uplifting book, right, that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes my daughter, who's 8, will have heard that daddy's up. She'll have come down. And the old me used to get frustrated in my head. Oh, no, I need to finish my routine. Now, I embrace it. And she comes and I say, hi, darling. You know, she goes, daddy, are you still doing your three M's? I said, yeah. So we sit and do affirmations together. So we'll sit together, hold hands. And for about a minute or two, we say, I'm happy, I'm calm, I'm stress-free. I'm happy, I'm calm, I'm stress-free. And at the end of that minute, she's got a big smile. I've got a big smile. So the three M's can be personalized for your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have one patient who just does 5 minutes. She does 1 minute of 3-4-5 breathing, 2 minutes of yoga, and 2 minutes of reading with a cup of tea. And she's found her stress levels have gone down and her skin, she has really bad eczema that stress makes worse. Her skin was about 50% better just from doing a morning routine.
Amazing.
So my challenge to everyone listening to this is, can you think about for the next 7 days trying a morning routine and see what difference that makes in your life?
Mm. I love the affirmation part.
Yeah.
To do the affirmation. And I think also you can stop during the day and just do the affirmations over and over again.
And I think
when you need it.
Yeah, for sure. And, again, coming back to Agnetha, to how I've changed, like the old Rongen, I would never got frustrated with my daughter, but I would have been frustrated inside that my morning routine has been broken because my children are up. But another huge part of the change that I've experienced on this kind of inner personal growth is I accept life the way it is now.
Yes, because now you love yourself. It's so much easier to love everyone around you.
Exactly. So that's the difference. So now it's like, oh, darling, come in. Mm. Or sometimes it's like, well, daddy's got a few more minutes to do. If you want to come and sit with me, that's great. But daddy's just going to finish off now.
Yeah, that's the gift you give her with those affirmations.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And actually, I'm getting quite emotional now talking to you because I've not thought about this. I've not really spoken to anyone about this for a long time now. And, you know, as I think about it, but I think that's a real sign of progress, not getting frustrated when you're getting interrupted, when you can just accept it and embrace it and go, no, that's okay. I think that's because you don't, otherwise you bring intention to your body and that tension plays out later in the day.
Yeah. So that's so important. People think it's, maybe they think it's egoistic to love yourself, but it's so important because when you do that, you will be this more good energy that you will spread to the people around you. So that's why it's important.
Have you ever spoken to Kristen Neff?
No.
Yeah, you'd really like speaking to her. She's probably, I spoke to her on my podcast. She's one of the world's leading experts in self-compassion.
Ah.
She's done some brilliant research on it. Mm-hmm. And she makes the point that self-compassion is not narcissism.
No.
You're not inflating yourself at the expense of other people. So self-compassion, being kind to yourself, loving yourself, actually the research shows makes you more successful at work. It makes you more successful with health because long term, the only way you'll engage in something is when you really like yourself. And it's something, I know British people find it really hard to talk about this stuff. We really struggle to talk about this.
But I don't think they're the only ones, but I think it will change. I think
it is changing.
Yeah, it's changing. And I love that. I choose to feel hopeful for the future in those parts. It's like Sweden is a very secular society. And I don't know about England, but I don't think in the same amount as Sweden. I don't know. But the soul, to have the relationship with the soul, what would you say is the health benefit from that? To have a connection with your soul, spirituality.
So I think connection to something greater than ourselves is so important for our health and well-being. Now, some people get that through religion, right? But even if you're not religious, you can still connect to something greater than you. You can look around in some beautiful nature and see the trees and the colors and the vibrancy and the vitality. And it really takes someone really who doesn't want to be connected to something greater to not see the magic in that. How has this come about? How have we evolved like this over tens and hundreds of thousands of years, right? Connection to something greater than us, I think, is so important. We know people who've got a meaning and purpose in their lives are healthier, they're happier, they have better mental health, they have better focus, right? We exist in relation to other people and in relation to the world around us. We don't exist by ourselves. We can't just look at ourselves and go, okay, this is my life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat this way, move this way. The people around me has nothing to do with how I feel. It's not how we've evolved as humans. We've evolved in communities. We've evolved to be in tune with the seasons and the rhythm of life. Mm. And I feel strongly that this is a missing link in medicine and healthcare is, where's the connection? I feel it in my own life in the last 5 or 10 years. I would say I'm very spiritual now.
Mm.
You know,
in what way does it your spirituality look?
I feel I'm part of something much bigger than me. I feel my action in the micro reflects the macro. So I believe that actually, you know, the world is struggling in many ways. There's a lot of division, a lot of hatred, a lot of fear. And I really feel that the energy I put out in the world is all I can control. How do I conduct myself with other people? You know, I do have some very large public platforms now, so I take it very seriously to always communicate with kindness, with compassion, with positivity, because I know that the way I contribute to the world reflects how the world is.
Yeah.
Not just me, every single one of us. Mm. Like, it's, I think, is it Gandhi who said, you know, be the change you want to see in the world?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Right? I love that. It's like, no, we are all connected. Mm. Instead of criticizing other people and gossiping and talking down about other people, yeah, people are struggling for sure, right? Mm. Many people are behaving in a way that we don't like. But you know what? This is another phrase that's really changed my life. If I were them, I'd be behaving in exactly the same way.
Mm.
That is so powerful because it's not excusing the behavior. What it's saying is, if I was them, with their upbringing, with their childhood experiences, with their parents, with their teachers, I would probably think the same way as them.
I could be them.
I could be them.
Yeah.
And that phrase has changed my life because it helps you look at everyone with compassion and kindness.
Mm.
And you know, I really feel that that's helped my own health. There's less tension and stress in my own body. When I meditate now, I find it easier to drop into a deep meditation. Whereas a few years ago, I would be trying to meditate, and I would be, but it would be very busy mind, very noisy. And that still happens from time to time.
I can relate to that.
But
yeah.
These days, I find as I'm more accepting of the world around me, I find it's easier to feel calm.
Amazing. I felt that the last month, I felt just that. It's easier for me to meditate now than it was like, because I can relate to what you were saying.
Yeah.
The busyness in the body. So what's your thought about the future? Where do you think we're heading? Are we going to get the grip of this stress and everything in the world? What are your hopes?
So you could ask me that question on different days and I'd probably give you different answers.
Yeah.
But if I really go deep within me and my soul, I guess, I believe in humanity. I believe in people. I believe that we will find a way to get through the troubles of the current times. Mm. I believe that actually things are starting to change. A newer generation has been born in a very different way. You know, these things of self-compassion and loving ourselves. Actually, I think in 20 years' time, these will be normal concepts.
I hope
we don't feel uncomfortable talking about.
Lovely.
And I see it in my children. You see now a generation of kids, even in their 20s now, who are not drinking alcohol to excess in the same way that I did in my 20s, or I don't know about you, but again, I'm not saying there's anything, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just observing that I do see a greater awareness of who we are. I see in the younger generation a greater awareness that we're connected, that our actions, let's say with respect to the environment, our actions have consequences in a way that I think our parents' generation probably didn't think about.
No, exactly.
It, you know, they were in a society where I wouldn't say it was individualistic, but we weren't aware of how much we were bleeding the earth's resources and living these materialistic lifestyles. So, you know, I've got two young kids. I see in them kindness, compassion, wanting to do good for the world. So yeah, I'm optimistic.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, for visiting my podcast. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. I really feel I spoke about and reflected on things that I haven't done in a long time. So I want to thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. You brought tears to my eyes a couple of times. This was a beautiful meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ja, som alltid när man avslutar ett samtal och lutar sig tillbaka så kommer nästan det bästa snacket när man är färdig med samtalet. Och så hände även här. När jag och Dr. Rangan Chatterjee var färdiga med vårt samtal så lutade vi oss tillbaka och så fick vi ett väldigt skönt och avspänt snack där efteråt. Så jag ville gärna ha med det här eftersnacket. Så här kommer eftersnacket mellan mig och Dr. Rangan Chatterjee.
You remind me, there's a very famous lady in the UK called Fern Cotton.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's been on TV since she was 16 years old. Yeah. She's very famous. She's done all the big shows. And she now does a podcast where, again, she talks about this stuff. And you know what? I don't know if you would resonate with this, but I found a lot of people in media, there's something missing inside. So they think the fame and attention is going to fix that hole, but they realize, actually, you know what? It doesn't fix the hole inside.
No.
The hole's still there.
Yeah.
I just see this quite a lot. I've observed it myself, if I'm honest. Mm. I remember when my first book, 4 years ago in the UK, it went to number one in all books. Mm. I remember in that moment, I was so excited. And my university friends, we were like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Second book with the stress solution, same thing happened. And I was excited, but not as excited. Third book happened again. Mm. I was like, yeah, okay, cool, feels good. This book, when it went to number one, I felt nothing, like nothing. And why I'm sharing that is I realized this, how well this does. This is not my happiness.
No.
Right? I love my job. I love helping people. I love reading messages when people say, oh, really, that's really helped me. Mm. But I don't need the external validation of a number one book anymore. Mm. Mm. It's easy to say that when you've had it. Mm. It's like the Jim Carrey quote, you know, I wish everyone could become rich and famous to realize it doesn't make you happy.
Exactly.
It's a cliche. Yeah. And I feel no way near on that level, but I feel I've got all these tick boxes of success. Mm. But what makes me happy is going for a walk with my wife and my children, coming back and having a meal with them. Mm. I couldn't be happier than in that moment, you know.
But maybe you had to do you had to do the whole trip.
I had to. Yeah, to you realize, had to. We all have to. We have to go on our journey.
Yeah.
Then you realize, you're chasing. You're chasing a ghost.
Yeah. But still, you are doing your higher purpose.
I am. Yeah. I agree. I'm doing my
higher
purpose.
And that makes you also happy. Not how many books you sell, but that you are doing the higher purpose.
Yeah,
that's
for
also
sure.
What's making you happy,
definitely.
I guess.
Jag hoppas verkligen att ni har uppskattat det här samtalet som jag hade med Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, för att jag tyckte det var väldigt spännande. Jag tyckte det var framförallt var det spännande att ha ett samtal med någon på engelska, för det var första gången jag hade i så in i själen, och det kommer säkert att hända fler gånger. Jag hoppas att ni hängde med på engelskan. Men jag tyckte det var så fint att vi berörde lite djupare saker och pratade just mycket om det här också, att älska sig själv, hur viktigt det är, och hur Rangan själv har liksom hittat dit, hur han inte alls gjorde det när han var yngre, men att han idag har hittat dit där han känner att han känner den här kärleken till sig själv, och hur han har sina rutiner och hur han kan hitta det här lugnet i mötet med sin dotter där ibland på morgnarna. Det var så mycket som var vackert i vårt samtal, och jag ser jättemycket fram emot hans nästa bok som kommer att beröra lite mer de här sakerna med själen och de frågorna som jag intresserar mig väldigt mycket för. Och jag kan inte låta bli att lägga in en dikt som jag har skrivit, som jag har allra sist i min bok, Så in i själen-bok. Just det här som jag och Rangan pratade om, det här med att inte jämföra sig utan ha fokus på vad man kan hitta, det som man känner i ens högre syfte, i stort som i smått. Det behöver inte vara storslaget att du ska liksom förändra hela världen, men att hitta någonting som känns som ett högre syfte, att fokusera på det och inte ha så mycket fokus på alla runt omkring. Och jag fick till mig precis när jag var färdig med min bok och den var på väg till tryck, så fick jag till mig den här dikten, och jag tycker att den passar så bra in och avsluta med efter det som jag och Rangan pratade om. Jaga inte efter att vara storslagen i andras ögon. Hitta det som känns äkta för dig. Var äkta och storslagen i dina egna ögon. Allt annat får dig på villovägar. Och med de orden så avslutar jag veckans samtal av Så in i själen. Och jag hoppas att du kan ta till dig det. Att fokusera på din väg och ditt liv och din själ och den du är. Tack för att du har lyssnat på Så in i själen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på dagens avsnitt. Och du har väl inte missat att Så in i själens första ljudbok kan bli din via Så in i själen plus. Följ länken i avsnittsbeskrivningen så blir ljudboken din för endast 59 kronor.